And a yeehaw and howdy, y'all. We're back again, another Blitz Trading Post. This is our episode 7. We're going to be talking about the depth chart breakdown of the NFC West. So we're wrapping this series up, guys. We're getting ready to close this thing out. And next week, as Jason would say, we're saving the West for last. And so next week we'll be doing the AFC. So if you're used to us doing the AFC, then NFC, we just can't wait to break down that AFC West because, my God, there are some good players. There are a lot of fantasy viable people over there. We'll get this started right. We'll introduce the host here with us. On my left, we got my man, George Reed. George, how are you doing this evening?
What's going on, Mike? Doing absolutely fantastic. Excited about tonight. The AFC West is obviously the cream of the crop, but the NFC West, we can't sleep on that division. There's some very talented fantasy options to include the wide receiver 1 and the QB 32 in that division. So let's not put the cart before the horse. Let's worry about tonight. We got to get through this.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, the quarterbacks in this here episode are actually pretty spicy too, until there's a couple of teams that we're just kind of like, I don't know what's going on with it. But we got our man Joe Bellomi. Joe, how's it going this evening?
Yeah, man, to George's point too, like the running backs in this division, there's a lot to talk about and unpack there. You're talking Akers, you're talking Carson, I guess, in Seattle. I don't even know what's going on there. You're talking San Francisco, Mitchell, and God knows. So that is a really, some complex running back situations we're going to have to kind of sift through and take the deep dive on tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of saving the West for last, down in my Southwest right there, we got my man Jason. Jason, how are we doing this evening? Still homeless?
No, I found a home. It's just, and I don't know how to unblur it, but if I unblurred it, it's very womanly back behind me. This is my wife's office. We haven't hung up a banner yet, which I've got plans to do. You can see up there, I've got a bar up there. So we're going to be hanging a championship banner here for the Bucks behind me. But until then, you're going to get a blur because yours in fantasy football doesn't match.
Well, for the rest of us, we all know that it's just a green screen and you're making all that up anyway. So that's okay, man. It's okay.
He's at the Flying J right now. We all know this.
I got to earn some money somehow, George. Got to earn that money somehow.
That's it right there. You guys know what to do. You follow us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Facebook, Podbean. Get us on Facebook. Get us on Spotify. Make sure you go visit www.toilsandtitles.com. We got the best videos, articles. I actually got to meet Chuck Steele a little bit ago. That was pretty awesome. That was a good time. He's a good dude. And he's writing for us now. We've got the best in the business doing it, and they're just getting started. So you're going to want to get there. And while you're at it, make sure you go join our Patreon at patreon.com/toilets to titles. I mean, I'm telling you what, guys, that's the Discord is fun. But once the season starts, you're really going to like to have a lot of these experts in your pocket at any given time. And I think that only costs you $5 a month. So get on there quick. And of course, we can't forget the Frankenstank. I think the Frankenstank is full. No more room. We got everybody we need in there, and we are ready to kick that off. So very exciting stuff happening at Toilets to Titles, but we're going to go ahead. George has something. What's up, George?
So in honor of the Frankenstank, this year, a large group of the Toilets to Titles team is going to the Fantasy Football Expo. And for everybody that is going there, we will be representing the Frankenstank there. My wife, who is a lot more talented than me, better looking than me, smarter than me, basically better than me in every way possible, except I have a better beard. Her beard does not compare to mine. I'm debuting the new shirts that everybody that is going will be getting. It's got the Frankenstein. And then it's got the vote for Frank right below it. And on the back, of course, what would a good shirt be without the Toilets to Titles logo? So everybody going, I know Jason's going. He'll be getting one. Mike's going to get one. I like Joe, so Joe's going to get one, even though he's not going this year. But, yeah, we're getting those. It's going to either say vote for Frank or it's going to say ask me about Frank. there was a suggestion to ask me about my monster, and I said, no, we are PG. We are not doing Ask Me About My Monster. We're PG here, folks. So, yeah, those are the shirts. I'll show it one more time real quick. But everybody that's going will be getting one of these Frankenstein Mummy T-shirts for the expo. We're all going to wear them Friday night. That'll be the dinner T-shirt for Friday night.
Nice. Excellent. Very nice. Very cool
stuff. Giving away shirts like Ryan McDowell's giving away Scott Fishbowl's seats last week or earlier this week, which is awesome. That was a really fun show to be a part of.
Yeah, and if you missed that episode with Tolisa Titles interviewing Ryan McDowell, go back and check that out. He was just dropping gems, and he was giving away Scott Fishbowl's entry like it was going out of business. Like, it was absolutely awesome.
That's it. If you have a tough time finding it, just look for the one with the Oprah on the thumbnail, because it was like, you get a Scott Fishbowl spot. So hopefully next year, if you're not tuning in or if you're not tuning in now, make sure you tune in next year, because we'll definitely have that guy back if he allows it. So with that, we're going to go ahead and jump into the show here. The very first team we're going to be covering tonight is the Arizona Cardinals. We got Kyler Murray at quarterback. We got James Conner and Darrell Williams, you know, Benjamin at the running back position. We got A.J. Green, Marquise Brown, Rondale Moore, Antoine Wesley, Christian Blake, Andy Isabella in the wide receiver spots. And we got Zach Ertz and Trey McBride at the tight end position. George, why don't you give us your take on the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, the first thing I noticed conspicuous by his absence was Nick Hopkins. And I actually think that's the lead. Because he's going to miss the first six games. He tested positive for a banned substance. He admitted it. And he's gone for the first six games. So I expect, you know, A.J. Green is going to be a steady hand for Kyler Murray. But the guy that I'm most excited about, honestly, without Nick Hopkins, is going to be Zach Ertz. When he came to town last year after that trade from Philly, like, Zach Ertz was a tight end one. He looked like Zach Ertz from a couple of years ago. He was rejuvenated. He looked absolutely fantastic. So he's somebody I don't mind drafting. If I don't take an early tight end, which normally I've been finding myself doing that more and more often, just to lock up that position and not have to worry about streaming that one position. Zach Ertz is somebody I absolutely like. And who does not like James Touchdown Connor? I mean, all they did was score 16 touchdowns last year. I don't expect him to do that again this year, but the guy is going to get all the opportunity in the world. Darrell Williams and Eno Benjamin are not really going to cut too much into his workload.
To George's point, that's 16 touchdowns with Chase Edmonds. So now without Chase Edmonds, not to say he's going to get those 16 again, but the opportunity will certainly be there.
Well, and then adding, there's not much to add to what George said. He kind of covered it all. But to add to Ertz, the thing I like about Ertz most is that it's like he's 8th, 9th round guy. So you don't have to spend high draft capital on a tight end that has a shot to be a every week starter for you. And you don't even have to draft him in those middle rounds where wide receivers are king. You can get him in a little bit later round and punt the position, still get a top guy. And that's why I like him.
My question on this one with these guys would be, you know, with the Hopkins suspension, Marquise Brown, you know, what are we looking for out of his performance with Hopkins out those first 6 weeks? Can you stretch him as your WR2 to start the season and feel good about that? Or is it fool's gold there with him?
I think he's a start of the season guy for sure. You know, what happens when Hopkins comes back? I'm not 100% sure. You know, I know Mike's going to talk about drops, and that's a big thing with him. There's some rapport there, right? Didn't they play in college together or something? I don't know. I think there's rapport there between quarterback and wide receiver, and I know he was lobbying for him.
They did play together in college. So they were college teammates, so they have that shower rapport. What I want to touch real quick, go back to what Jason said about Zach Ertz, about getting him late. Right now he's going overall the 96th pick overall. And if you look, like, the scope that he's going around is Zach Ertz is at 96, Dawson Knox, Pat Freiermuth, Mike Gesicki are all within like 10 to 12 picks of each other, according to Fantasy Pros. So you're definitely getting a discount on him, who could end up being a top 7 or 8 tight end for you at the end of the year.
Yeah, my last thing on Arizona, just looking at it from the DFS perspective real quick, is, you know, early on in the season, I think Marquise Brown is definitely, if you don't feel comfortable drafting him for what his long-term season will be like, I definitely think there's going to be some short-term DFS value with Brown to start the season. And then to echo every other, you know, everybody else's sentiment, Ertz won't be expensive. He's probably going to, I feel like Ertz is going to be like 5,500 on FanDuel week one. And I think there's certainly some good bang for your buck there.
Yeah. When you have AJ Green leading off your wide receiver, Corey, you know, you're in pretty big trouble with Nuke out and everything like that. I can see Marquise Brown. I mean, he's good. He's talented. The problem he has is he just can't seem to focus, catch, and run. And so hopefully he can get that ironed out in this offseason, and hopefully that rapport with Kyler Murray will help with that. But I do agree. I think Zach Ertz is going to be tight end one easily, probably top 5, maybe top 7. George, were you going to add something there? Oh, George is adding on. And he's
Does everybody here have Kyler Murray? Yeah, does everybody here have Kyler Murray? Can you hear me now?
Sure. Nope.
I think you're very late. Murray.
I have Kyler Murray late.
That's move on. Okay. Well, no, I was asking if he's a top 10.
Yeah, I think he's a top 10 quarterback for sure, but he's definitely a 5 to 10 guy and not a 1 to 5 guy for me.
It's a really good question. I think, to be honest, I think it's a better question than we probably right off the bat think of it, because he had some weak moments fantasy-wise last season. And with no Hopkins those first 6 weeks, I don't know if George is getting at. He feels like he might be at the end or outside that top 10, but you could definitely sell me on him being closer to 9, 10, 11 going into the season this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite say top 10. I would definitely say top 12. I still have him finishing as a quarterback one, but at the very end of the quarterback one tier.
I'm just concerned about his rushing, because it seems like each year he starts out as the world's on fire, and his rushing and throwing is like, you know, top 5 in the NFL for fantasy purposes every week. And then as the season goes on, like, the second half of the season, he's not rushing the ball no more, and his stats for fantasy purposes show that. And that's why I don't have him as a top 10. I have him as quarterback 11 right now.
See, that's exactly where I have him, as quarterback 11. I can see him finishing a lot higher than that. He does have the talent and potential. I just agree with you. I think he's really hot at the beginning, and he just kind of fizzles away towards the end. And another guy that I think that everybody should maybe go grab, because he's coming in late, is Darrell Williams. He's a great running back. And if you remember last year, James Conner was definitely the primary running back of this offense, but Chase Edmonds was out there and he was still scoring a lot of points for you. So having the running back two on this team isn't necessarily a bad thing. So with that, we'll move on to something a little bit more exciting. The Super Bowl champions, the LA Rams. We got Matt Stafford at quarterback. We got Akers. We got Henderson. We got Kieran Williams at the running back position. Cooper Kupp at the wide receiver, and you don't need any other wide receivers when you got Cooper Kupp. But the other ones are Van Jefferson, Allen Robinson II, Ben Skoronek, J.J. Koski, Tutu Atwell. That rounds out your wide receivers. Then we got Tyler Higbee and Kendall Blanton at tight end. Joe, what happens if they lose Cooper Kupp? How deep is this? How deep is this team? Doesn't seem very deep to me.
What I was thinking, though, with the wideouts, I'm glad you started there, though. If Van Jefferson takes the next step in his progression, holy crap, because now you're really looking in. I mean, when they're healthy, you're looking at, you know, that would be a phenomenal gift to that offense if Jefferson takes the next step, steps in, maybe takes, you know, gets closer to filling in Beckham's role. The thing I was thinking about with these guys, and I don't know why this is, but Cam Akers is going to start the season undervalued from a DFS perspective. So I am just going to crush Cam Akers every Sunday until his price catches up to his talent. Because even after missing all that time last year, he played and didn't miss a beat. It felt like for the most part got a lot of touches in the playoffs. I don't think people expected him to get that many touches in the playoffs coming off that injury like that.
So let me say, so for Akers, you know, a lot of people are downselling him right now because, you know, he came back and played in the playoffs and averaged 2.5 yards a carry. I think it was something pretty terrible. Keep in mind in the playoffs, he played against some really tough rush defenses. You know, teams that don't offer a lot on the ground. But also, you know, we're talking about a guy who tore his Achilles that same year, and it was miraculous. You know, it used to be a death sentence for a running back completely, and the fact that this guy came back and played the same year. And on top of that, you know, their coaching staff really has shown that they want to get him the ball. If he's healthy, they want to use him. They're tied to him. They drafted him high. They traded up for him. So I think like they are kind of give him the ball and give him every opportunity, kind of like Todd Gurley. You know, they just force fed the ball to Todd Gurley, and I think they're going to do that with Akers as well. You know, I like Henderson as a player. I think he was, when he had to step in, he played very well. But I just don't think they're going to give him the ball a whole lot. Talking about Cooper Kupp, you know, the question I have for you guys, and I want to go around and pull up the ADP real quick. But now I'm a running back guy typically at the start of my draft, depending on where I am in the first round, right? I'm a running back guy for second round. But with Cooper Kupp's production last year and him having to be everything for the Rams, because we don't know really how Allen Robinson's going to gel or if Van Jefferson can make that high step up. At what point do you stop taking running backs in the first round and start being okay with going, okay, I'm going to take Cooper Kupp. And then I'm going to give you the running backs at their average and let me know whether you want to take Kupp or this running back instead. So Jonathan Taylor. It's obviously Jonathan Taylor, right?
Yes.
Number two is Austin Eckler. So Eckler or Kupp?
Eckler.
Christian McCaffrey or Kupp?
Christian Kupp. McCaffrey.
Derrick Henry or Kupp?
Henry.
All right. Now I've got – these are the ones –
What's the scoring format?
This is half PPR. This is half PPR.
Half PPR, give me Derrick Henry.
Okay. Now we've got Najee, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Javonte Williams. Any of those you taking over Cooper Kupp?
I think all but one. Javonte Williams.
Not Javonte.
Javonte Williams, yeah. I'm not taking Javonte over Cooper Kupp.
I'm also not taking Cup over. I'm taking Cook and Najee, but that's about it. That's the line, right? So if you're picking 7th, 8th, Cooper Kupp starts to become the guy you take. DeAndre Swift's there after that. Alvin Kamara, I think I take Kupp over
one
of those.
I would take Swift over almost everybody in that second group, though.
Same here.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to see where you guys were as far as, like I said, I'm running back, but like seeing how good Kupp was last year and seeing that he's in the same line for the same amount of touches this year, it kind of makes me think like going wide receiver and getting that positional advantage so early may make sense, especially with the fact that like there's a lot of decent, if you're willing to take a risk, guys like Akers, but even Saquon Barkley and Zeke later on for running backs. So I can see going Kupp, you know, a running back in the second round and a running back in the third round, and getting, you know, getting like Chubb and Saquon or Chubb and Zeke, and still having what could be, if it hits, two stud running backs, but starting off with Cooper Kupp here.
Excellent. So go ahead, George.
So here's my problem with Cooper Kupp. Like, he had 191 targets last year. I'm sorry. I don't think he's getting 191 targets again this year. Is it possible? Yeah, it absolutely is. I won't doubt that for one second. I don't foresee him getting 191 targets.
Does 160 really change anything?
But let me tell you, he was 100 points, I think 1 point shy of 100 points ahead of his next closest competition.
Oh, I understand.
So like 30 less targets still makes him the wide receiver one by a wide margin. And I think
that's the thing. I don't think he's going to repeat as the wide receiver one. Like the way I look at it is he had a historical season last year. In order for him to pay off going ahead on his, because his average draft position right now on Fantasy Pros is fourth overall. I'm not drafting him fourth overall. I'm just not. I don't expect him to go out and get 191 targets. I don't expect him to have 170 plus receptions. I don't expect him to go over 2,000 yards. Like, that's just not going to happen again. It's not. I'm sorry. It will not happen again.
Well, you're 100% right, but he has 100 points to play with. He has 100 points to play with before he's not wide receiver one anymore. So let's go through that. I know
you could have somebody like Justin Jefferson, or you could have somebody like Jamar Chase, who have a lot better season than what they did last year. Like, it's not like everybody else is going to produce the same that they did last year, and then Cooper Kupp has this magical 100-point window to play with. That doesn't exist. What he did last year, he did last year. He's not going to repeat that. Jamar Chase could put up a Cooper Kupp-like season this year. Justin Jefferson could do it. What Cooper Kupp did last year, he could do it this year. Like, that's within those guys' range of outcomes. And, hell, Davante Adams could put up a Cooper Kupp-like season up in Vegas because his boy is going to hyper-target him like crazy. That's just going to happen.
But what are
those are within their ranges of outcome. I'm not spending fourth overall draft capital on Cooper Kupp. I'm not expecting Cooper Kupp to finish as a top five wide receiver. If anybody wants to throw that in the toilet bowl, I'll take it. we got ourselves a toilet bowl back. But looking at a historical season and expecting that to be duplicated, it's not going to happen. It typically doesn't.
We don't expect it to be duplicated. And how could you bank on a variable like a team change on Davante Adams over Kupp just sitting there again?
What happened last year? The same thing. What happened last year? Cooper Kupp got what? A brand new quarterback last year. It's literally the same thing. Different. If the wide receiver got a brand new quarterback and then he got Matt Stafford.
You're saying Matt Stafford or Derek Carr are the same thing, and downgrading from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr is the same thing? That's completely different.
No, it's absolutely not, because look at the winning game.
Cooper Kupp went from Jared Goff to Matt Stafford. That was the difference. He upgraded in quarterback, whereas everybody and their mom knows that Davante Adams went down in quarterback. That's just facts. Davante Adams was the only guy on that team last year.
The problem is within Green Bay, they also had a very good running game that took targets away from Davante Adams. They're not going to be targeting Josh Jacobs in that system. The only competition Davante Adams has for targets is Darren Waller. That's
it. And Hunter Renfro, who they just paid a ton of money to. You're just wrong. And on top of everything else, one, Derek Carr doesn't throw the ball down the field nearly as much, so Davante Adams isn't getting those deep targets. Two, they'll be in the red zone.
He doesn't need to get the deep targets if he's getting targeted 15 times a game.
They'll also be in the red zone a lot less, so he'll get a lot less red zone targets, and which will translate into a lot less touchdowns. AFC West is next week, so we can get into Davante Adams next week.
Mike, what do you think here, Mike?
Well, let's get all of Derek Carr's number one wide receivers. Let's just list them all real quick. 4 years ago, Amari Cooper, and that's it.
None of them are nearly as good as Davante Adams. I'm sorry.
No, they don't have to be as good. What happens is that Derek Carr spreads the ball around. He's notorious for throwing the ball about five different times to five different guys. He likes getting it to his. He threw – like, Zay Jones was fantasy relevant in a few games last year.
That's because there was nobody to throw the ball to.
No, Hunter
Renfro. It's like the Kadarius Toney effect from last – or not Kadarius Toney. What's his name? Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's the Amon-Ra St. Brown effect. Like, there's nobody else to throw the ball to. So, yeah, he's going to throw it to Renfro. He's going to throw it to Zay Jones because there's nobody to throw the dang ball to. Now there's Davante Adams.
And I mean, I'm with these guys on the Davante Adams is not going to outdo Cooper Kupp this year.
I'm not saying he's going to.
Van Jefferson and Allen Robinson don't prevent a whole lot of threat to Cooper Kupp. I don't really see Ben Skowronek or J.J. Koski stepping up very much. Tyler Higbee's decent in the red zone, but I feel like Cooper Kupp could easily replicate last season. But I mean, like to Jason's effect, where he said that these guys are going to be getting, even if you take 100 points away, he's still going to finish a high end one. But I'm still with you, George. I think fourth pick in the draft, I think I can get a better running back than Cooper Kupp is. We'll go on to the next one. We got Johnny Sheps copping in. He says, what's up? He says, Stafford is in his top seven quarterback. I can't argue with that. And then he also agrees with me that that's a green screen that Jason is sitting in front of. And then we got our man Joe Clark checking in, and he agrees with you, George. He thinks Kupp stinks.
Horrible. He stinks. He's terrible. I mean, last year, Robert Woods was supposed to be better than him, right? So, I mean,
that's true. Yeah, no, there was a lot of that. And I mean, you know, to your credit, though, it's very rare that we see guys do 1-1-1 year in and year out. So it could be anybody's.
The one thing we also didn't acknowledge is that they did bring in Allen Robinson, who will take targets from Cooper Kupp. And that, as of last reading, the Rams are also the favorite to bring back Odell Beckham Jr. And the only reason he hasn't signed right now is because he's still injured. And if they do re-sign Odell, he's going to get targeted as well, which will, again, take targets from Cooper Kupp. So
Odell will play no sooner than week 12.
Right.
I think it'll be before that.
So an ACL injury to an injury for the second time on the same knee, which this is, has a much longer recovery time than it does if it's your first injury.
And he won't play.
He did, which means
he got it in the Super Bowl.
He got it as late as possible in the season. It's week 12 at the very earliest before he plays. And then that's coming back from an ACL in week 12. Like, he's not a challenge to Cooper Kupp.
So moving on, we got the San Francisco 49ers. We got Trey Lance. Now that we got everybody's blood pressure all fired up, we got Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo still sticking around there at the quarterback position. We got Elijah Mitchell, Tyrion Davis Price coming up next, and then Jeff Wilson Jr. in the running back. We got Ayuk Debo. We got Juwan Jennings. We got Marcus Johnson, Danny Gray, and Ray McCloud at the wide receiver position, and then good old Kittle, and then Charlie Warner at the tight end. Jason, it's your turn. Let's go ahead and talk about the 49ers. What do you think about this team?
I don't think much about any of them, honestly. Kittle is a guy I'd like if I take a tight end early. Trey Lance is interesting because he can run, so I think that puts him in the top 10 for sure. I can't trust San Francisco with their running backs. They don't show me that even though Mitchell played well last year, one, he didn't stay completely healthy. He got injured several times throughout the season. And two, they just, like, that team never shows you that they have any loyalty to any running back. It doesn't matter where they're drafted. It doesn't matter how well they've played. It doesn't any of that. None of that matters. They're going to play whoever they feel like playing that week. It could be Trey Sermon. You know what I mean? Like, he's left for fantasy dead. It could be Trey Sermon.
Yeah. He's fourth on the depth chart.
You know, Debo, all the talent in the world, but the guy doesn't want to do the thing that made him super fantasy relevant last year, which is rush and rush for touchdowns. So I think his asking price for me is way too high. Ayuk has shown a couple years in a row some chops. I like him at his fantasy draft position, but by the time we get to redraft season, I'm probably going to be out on his value too, because it's just going to skyrocket up. So for me on this team, Trey Lance, if I'm going late quarterback, and George Kittle, and then the rest of it, I'm kind of just tapped out.
I have a little bit of faith in Marcus Johnson being able to establish himself over Juwan Jennings and being the third wide receiver on that team. The one thing that really bugs me about this team is the running back conditioning program. Seems like this team, out of a lot of teams out there, injure a whole lot of running backs, and it just seems that they can't keep a running back on the field more than two or three games. And this isn't just this year. I mean, this is like going on for 5 years. Ever since Shanahan took over, it seems like they've had a real tough time keeping healthy running backs on the field. George, what do you think?
Well, what also is concerning is that the running back coach that they've had for the last few years, and who was also their offensive coordinator last year, is no longer there. So they had to bring in a new guy, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but they got a new running backs coach. They got a new offensive coordinator. I agree with Jason. Debo doesn't want to run the ball. And to be honest, I'm kind of on Debo's side on that. Like, everybody knows running backs are get brutalized in the NFL. Like, they're probably the most fragile position in the NFL. And Debo is a wide receiver, does not want to run the ball because that'll shorten his career. So I don't blame him for that. As far as fantasy goes, it's what brought him to the dance is being that dual threat, that slash, that wide receiver running back. And if he's only doing wide receiver and he's not going to be able want to run the ball that much, you know, I'm out on his draft cost right now. According to Fantasy Bros, he's going as the 16th pick off the board. Like, I'm sorry, but that's just way too rich for my blood. Almost the middle of the second round for a guy who doesn't want to do what brought him to the dance last year. I'm not taking that flyer on him. Trey Lance, he's an interesting quarterback. He's not somebody I would want to go into the season as my primary quarterback. We really don't know how good of a quarterback he's going to be in the NFL. He's only had very limited opportunity to get on the field in games time in game situations. And the times that he has, like, he's ran the ball a lot. He's looked great running the ball. And that's definitely a fantasy value. But I want to see it from him. He's not somebody I want as my quarterback one. I wouldn't mind pairing him with another proven quarterback where this way I'm getting him with an upside. But he's not somebody I want to trust as my wide receiver or my quarterback one. I agree with what Jason said about the running backs. You know, it's a mismatch. It could be Trey Sermon who ends up leading this backfield. We don't know. And Kittle, like, he absolutely dominated when he came back last year. You draft Kittle early, you basically know what you're getting when he's out there on the field. He plays a ton because he is a good blocker, which does take away from his efficiency metrics as far as, you know, being on the field and being a receiving threat. But when he gets the ball in his hands, he just creates magic with it. So you know what you get in Kittle.
And you're talking about Anthony Lynn. That's the new running back coach for the
Yes, team. Yes. Thank you.
But that could be a good thing. You know, like, I mean, like I said, they've had a real tough time keeping these guys on the field. And so for me, that could actually help things out. Joe, what's your take on this team? Who are you grabbing in DFS? What's the highlights here?
I laughed to not even see Sermon on the freaking depth chart.
I did too.
What did he go for, like 18 and 97? The one game he actually played last year or started? Yep. It was good numbers. So that's just crazy to me. You know, I think Homeless Jason's he's got like a Steph Curry game going tonight. I feel like he's been spot on, in my opinion, for most of the night, except for when he's disagreed with me, of course. real quick, from a DFS perspective, I think Samuel is going to be too high early. You know, Ayuk, FanDuel, I'm feeling like 6,000, 6,100 week one. When they're in a matchup against a team that scores some points, I feel like Ayuk could bring you back some good value for what his price will be, but they're going to be so game matchup driven as far as their game plan goes. It's going to be a frustrating fantasy team this year.
Well, and let me bring one thing up, because I know I do like Marcus Johnson to definitely step up over Juwan Jennings, but and that was Mike's point. But to that, I'd say I don't want their third wide receiver on a Trey Lance-led offense, especially when you have Kittle accepting passes as well. So, you know, while I do think Marcus Johnson can be the third wide receiver there and step in, I still don't want any of that, just because the amount of volume I believe throwing Trey Lance is going to offer is a lot lower than even what Jimmy Garoppolo offered last year.
Yep, I think the two – I always say this. With new quarterbacks, I like tight ends and I like running backs, and that's about the only two things I like. Even if you do have a wide receiver one like Debo Samuel out there, I don't really think that that's going to be a huge viable play, especially for where you're grabbing them at with Trey Lance at the quarterback. Now, next year we might be starting to talk a little bit more, especially if he takes a big step up this year. Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and move on out of the San Francisco realm right there, unless when you guys have something else to add on that. Nope. Okay, so we'll go into the Seahawks. And the Seahawks, boy, man, I remember when this used to be a tough, tough team. And now we got Geno Smith and Drew Lock at the quarterback. We got Rashad Penny, Kenneth Walker III, and Chris Carson at running back. We got some good receivers. We got DK Metcalf. We got Tyler Lockett. We got Freddie Swain. Then we have Cody Thompson, Marquise Goodwin, and Dee Eskridge, which I was surprised Marquise Goodwin's still around at the wide receiver position. And then at tight end, we got Noah Fant and Will Disley, which to me, it might be two little bright spots on this team. And I'll go ahead and kick this off since you guys did the other ones. You know, for me, Geno Smith starting at quarterback is neat. I think that's really cool that he's still going to be a starting quarterback and all that fun stuff. And he's definitely got the veteran experience. He's definitely good, and he likes to move the ball on the ground. The problem is that guy can't stay on the field for more than three or four plays. So I have a feeling we're going to be looking at a Drew Lock-led offense in no time here. Same with Rashad Penny. He can't stay on the field very long. Chris Carson can't. So I'm really liking Kenneth Walker, and I really like Noah Fant and Will Disley. But, boy, my shares of DK Metcalf, I'm really starting to get nervous about. And then Tyler Lockett as well, although Tyler Lockett's probably the best route runner in the whole entire league. That guy's just always open, and that's one thing Russell Wilson used to always count on, is that Tyler Lockett was wide open. And I can promise you, as a Broncos fan, Drew Lock has no idea how to find even the – he knows how to find the defensive guys, but he does not know how to find the offensive receivers on there. Freddie Swain is a little bit speculative, but, again, like, I just don't have any faith in their quarterback. Jason, what do you think about this team?
Oh, man, where to start, where to start? So, you know, for as much as we upgraded the Denver – wide receivers, Judy and Sutton, after Russ left, we have to do the same in the opposite direction for Metcalf and Lockett. I love both of these wide receivers. The problem is, you know, if you don't have anybody to throw the ball, they can't throw the ball themselves. You know, Lockett relied on Russ's consistency, his accuracy, and then like those fluke plays, those touchdowns, like the amount of tosses to touchdowns for Russ is always off the chart. And that's, you know, that benefited Lockett, but he's not going to have that this year. Well, I do want to mention Penny. I think he's a bit of fool's gold. And I got his stats right here. So he had just shy of 700 yards and six touchdowns in the last five games. But when people quote that, they often forget to tell you that the four out of his last six games were against some of the worst run defenses in the league. It was Chicago, Detroit, Arizona, and Washington. Two of the last six games he played against good defenses, and he only combined for 74 yards and zero touchdowns in those games. He currently has the 29th rated PFF offensive line in front of him. He's got three new offensive linemen on that have never played together. Like, so I think all of that is fool's gold for forget the injury. I mean, the injury thing, you can't forget it, but it's been played. You're injured. You're injury prone to, you're not. He may play the whole season, but I think trying to chase what he did at the end of last season is probably a misnomer, just because he went against some of the weakest opponents that you could have. And sure, he thrived. You want that, but he's not going to see that all year.
Well, the one thing he does have going for him is, like, I don't expect Chris Carson to come back. Like, I think he's done. That neck injury is no joke. So I'm not expecting Chris Carson to come back. So that leaves a rookie, Kenneth Walker, really as his only competition. And I'm not going to sit here and poo-poo on Geno Smith. I'm actually going to talk him up just a little bit. He'll move from the 32nd best quarterback in fantasy. I'm going to bump him up during the show a little bit. But the good thing about it is it's Kenneth Walker, it's Rashard Penny in the backfield, and you've got Geno Smith and Drew Lock at quarterback. So the opportunity for those guys to do what Pete Carroll has wet dreams about, which is establish the run, is going to be absolutely phenomenal. And I don't care how talented you are. If you get the opportunity is king. If you're going to go out there and you're going to get, you know, 15 to 17 rushes a game, I don't care. I'll take that. I won't draft him where his ADP is, but I will absolutely take somebody getting 15 to 18 touches a game. That's what the starting back in Seattle is going to get. You want to say something, Jason?
Can I sneak? Yeah. I wanted to sneak in because opportunity is king. Problem is, we're typically talking about PPR and half PPR when we talk about these leagues. Seattle also averaged the least amount of targets per running back last season. So they averaged for all their running backs last season under four targets per game. And so just like it in PPR, that's just not going to get it done. Like, they're the worst.
It doesn't matter.
So you're right. Touches are there, but it's more Nick Chubb than it is, you know, Alvin.
Yeah.
The Marshawn Lynch days.
Yeah, it's going to be the Marshawn Lynch days. I mean, listen, Derrick Henry is not a PPR monster by any stretch of the imagination, but he gets the opportunity in the goal line. He gets the opportunity to get the ball 15 to 18 to 22 times a game. And if Seattle's going to give, you know, that opportunity, you know, Penny has shown he can break the long one because he did it quite a few times last year. But I want to go back to Geno Smith. Would anybody here say it's ridiculous if Geno Smith finished the season with 400 passing attempts, 265 completions for about 3,200 yards with 25 touchdowns and 10 interceptions?
Are you telling me 20 points a game?
No.
Fantasy-wise?
No, absolutely not. No, I'm just giving raw stats. 400 attempts, 265 completions, 3,200 yards, 25 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Would that be a fair season line for Geno Smith this coming year if he's the starter for all 17 games?
Okay. I think so. What is that, Russell Wilson's stats?
Let me read you Russell Wilson's stats from last year. Hold on, I got to pull it up. Russell Wilson from last year, 260 completions on 400 pass attempts, 3,100 and change yards, 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. So I gave Geno Smith more interceptions than Russell Wilson did last year, but that's how pedestrian Russell Wilson was last year. He did not eclipse 3,200 total passing yards. He did. Yeah, but he absolutely did. Go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say.
Remember when he's practicing in the huddle? That still always cracks me up when he's sitting there like, you know, he's sitting there going through drills and everything, which is fine. I understand that. But when he's sitting there and doing the fake huddle, you kind of lost me there, Russ. I'm like, what are you doing that for, bud?
He got hurt last year and came back too soon. Like, yeah, I mean, I do think it's fair to say Geno Smith can play about as well as a fingerless Russell Wilson, but you know that's probably his ceiling.
But we weren't downgrading had Geno Smith is like not only. They're going to have to run the ball. Like, we expect them to be behind because that defense is not a very good defense in Seattle. So we're expecting them to be behind. So in order to remain in the games when they're not trying to establish the run, they're going to have to pass the ball. I'm getting ready to do redraft rankings for the Toilets of Titles, and I won't have DK and Tyler Lockett ranked high. But I still think there are guys that you can still draft and put in your fantasy lineup, especially Lockett. Like, I like Lockett a lot more this year than I like DK Metcalf. I like him an absolute lot more.
That's what I was going to say. You wanted to compare Geno this year to what Russ was last year, but DK disappeared last year. Like, DK was a ghost. Like, so. Yeah, I will take Lockett over Metcalf, but I don't think I'd take either one of them at their ADP, really.
I would take I'll look up Lockett's ADP. I'll tell you where he's going.
Nope. I lost Mike there. You want to mute Mike?
So what I was saying is I really like Fant this year a lot. I think he's going to be pretty solid. He's going to be a pretty solid option, but I do feel like it's going to be because he has experience with Drew Locke.
So let me ask you guys this real quick. I'm going to give you we'll play name game association, okay? Let's go from right here. Adam Thielen or Tyler Lockett?
Thielen for me.
That's a good one.
I'm a big Thielen guy, though.
I'm going to go Lockett because I feel like he'll just be the most reliable out of – but that's a good one. I'm going to go Lockett by a slim margin.
Gabriel Davis or Tyler Lockett?
Man. Where are you with that, Jason?
Because I'm a Gabriel Davis guy. But,
me too, big time.
Yeah,
I'm gonna guy that has Josh Allen at quarterback.
Yeah, that's kind of it. That's kind of the tiebreaker for me. I want to see what Davis does with Josh Allen this year over Tyler Lockett with Geno Smith.
All right. How about Hunter Renfrow or Tyler Lockett?
I think you got to go Renfrow.
I think I'm going Renfrow as well. Yeah.
Juju or Tyler Lockett?
Oh, wow. Finally a Lockett answer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm out Devonta, on Juju this year.
I'll give you two more. Devonta Smith or Tyler Lockett?
Smith. This year.
I'm going to say Lockett.
All right, last one. Treylon Burks or Tyler Lockett?
Tyler Lockett.
Okay, so both Gabriel Davis and Adam Thielen are being drafted before Tyler Lockett. Hunter Renfrow, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Devonta Smith are going 2, 3, and 4 picks respectively after Lockett. And then the last one I gave you, Treylon Burks, he's going 89 overall. Tyler Lockett's going 81 overall. So when you're talking about his ADP, those are guys that are going around him. Like, I would take Tyler Lockett over Renfrow, over Juju, and over Devonta Smith, and, of course, over Treylon Burks. I would probably take Adam Thielen over Lockett, but I would not take Gabriel Davis over Lockett. I'd rather have Lockett.
I wish that they could get him the ball. I think Lockett's a better talent, for sure. Lockett is way better than all those guys. It's just quarterback play will be everything, and he doesn't have a quarterback anymore.
Scoring opportunities go way down. It's not like Tyler Lockett was a great inside the 20 guy. He relied heavily on those deep passes that I don't think he gets this year. And that's my biggest problem with him and why I'd take a shot at somebody like Gabriel Davis, even though the talent is clearly on the Lockett side.
It's going to be a stagnant offense.
It's going to be a boring offense. Like the four games Geno Smith played last year, his touchdown to turnover ratio was fantastic. It was 5-1. Like, he didn't throw interceptions. He only threw one interception in the four games, but he also only threw for like 700 yards. So, I mean, he only had one game over 200 yards. He had one game with 2 touchdowns. He's threw touchdowns in every game that he started, but it's not a high powered offense. That's why I was saying I would take Tyler Lockett at his ADP over DK Metcalf at his ADP, because I think Lockett's going to produce a lot better than DK will, especially based on their respective draft positions.
Absolutely. So with that, we'll go ahead and get into the final segment here. Joe, why don't you lead us off right here?
All right, quarterbacks. This is a challenge of paying attention here for these last 45 minutes. So we got Geno Smith, Matt Stafford, Trey Lance, and
Kyler Murray.
Strictly fantasy because of the rushing, even though I have a lot of questions, I do have to go Kyler Murray fantasy-wise because of the rushing.
Because we said Kyler Murray was going to be a back half of quarterback ones, somewhere between 9 and 12. I think Stafford has the arm to not need to rush to do better than that. He'll get plenty of touchdowns again this year. I'm going to say Matt Stafford's going to be the best fantasy quarterback in this division, with the caveat of, like, Trey Lance has the ability with rushing. We just haven't seen him. So it's Matt Stafford 1, Trey Lance 2, Kyler Murray 3 for me. Geno Smith, 47.
this question would be way more fun if Russell Wilson was still in Seattle versus Geno Smith. I'm going to go with I got to go with Stafford, though. That's my guy. I don't even have Kyler Murray in my top 10. I do have Matt Stafford in my top 10.
Yep, Matt Stafford 8 for me, Kyler Murray 11 for me, so Matt Stafford for me as well.
All right. So, Penny, we got Akers, we got Elijah Mitchell, and then crapping out on the fourth one again.
James Conner.
So this is a really interesting one. I'm curious to see what Conner does this year because he had the big year in Pittsburgh, then he fizzled out, had a really nice year last year, poised to even do better this year without Edmonds there. But then I feel like now, I don't know, I feel like he has to prove that to me. I think I'm going to go James Conner, but I'm rooting for Cam Akers.
I'm rooting for and taking Cam Akers. I think the talent's there, and I think they're going to give him a load of work.
I'm going to go James Conner just because the Arizona Cardinals have shown historically when they get into the red zone, they want to run the ball. And so, while I don't expect 16 touchdowns from James Conner this year. I do think he'll get you double-digit touchdowns, and he's also involved in their passing game as well. So I'm going to go with James Conner.
And I'm with you, Joe. I'm going to go with Conner here, but I'm going to wish that Cam Akers can take that role and take it to the house. So
I'd like to be wrong and it be Cam Akers, but
so real quick, Jason, Elijah Mitchell had a phenomenal year last year.
He did.
Really, obviously coming from absolutely nowhere, especially. Why are all four of us not even thinking about him in this one?
Well, it boils down to coaching and team. You know, it's the same thing we talked about when we talked about the Niners. It could be Trey Sermon. That they don't have a loyalty to a running back. So even it's not a what have you done for me all last season. It's not even a what have you done for me the last game. It's just whatever they decide to do that week. Mitchell could go out on top of injury risk because he does leave games often. But, you know, I can't say that and take Cam Akers too, right? Like he came off an Achilles. But it's literally just that coaching staff goes with whoever they feel is hot that week. And I don't know if it's going to be Trey Sermon or Mitchell or they're going to give Deebo Samuels run inside the 20, even though him and his new contract probably forbid it. Like we just don't know. I mean, imagine some of those touches that Deebo Samuel got last year inside the red zone went to Elijah Mitchell. We may be talking about it a different way this year, but they didn't because they won't because that's just the way the coach is.
Fair point on the Samuel thing for sure.
So I think Jason kind of said it very well, but the one thing he left off is Trey Lance is going to run the ball. So that's going to take touches. They're going to design runs for Trey Lance that are not going to go for Elijah Mitchell as well.
Right.
Trey Lance had one game last year where he ran the ball 16 times. And he's got another game where he ran it for 8, another one for 7. I don't know when the last time – I'm going to look it up. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo had a single game last year where he rushed the ball 7 times.
Yeah, so, and while he's looking that up to make the point even better, okay, so now you're not going to give those rushes to Deebo. It's just baked into maybe what Trey Lance does.
Yeah.
Joe, you're on mute.
Wide out. DK Metcalf. I know we got a suspension, but still I'm going to say DeAndre Hopkins has got to be in there. Deebo Samuel and Cooper Kupp. Man, that is one hell – that is one hell of a wide receiver one in this division for those four teams. I'm going to go Cooper Kupp. I mean, you know, I don't think there's really much question in my opinion there. I know we have differing opinions, but Cooper Kupp for me.
Kupp and it's not close.
Yeah, it's listen, I'm the low. I'll have Kupp ranked the lowest out of us four, and it's Cooper Kupp by me, for me.
Yeah, Kupp for me. But I've been a Kupp nut forever, so.
All right.
So I got it pulled
good
up.
Good luck with tight ends.
Last year against the Philadelphia Eagles, Jimmy Garoppolo rushed the ball 11 times. His next highest was one game with 5, and then the rest of the year, not a single one over 3.
Did they win that game?
Actually, they did. They did, 17-11.
So what you can say is, in games where Jimmy Garoppolo rushed double digits,
Yeah, they're undefeated. Yeah. So here was his stat line as far as rushing goes: 11 rushes, 20 yards, one touchdown.
it's a very Tom Brady rushing.
It really is. So yeah, it's Jimmy Garoppolo. What do you want?
Not all right, to play Jimmy Garoppolo.
Tight ends. It's a good division for tight ends too. You got Kittle, Ertz, Fant, and Higbee. And I'll tell you what, I'm all about streaming Higbee from a DFS perspective. I love his cheap price and the potential return. But obviously, here, I think it's a two-man race. And I do think as long as he's healthy, George Kittle's the man here.
And that's it. Like, I probably won't take him at his draft ADP. Like, I think that's probably too early, especially considering his injury history. So I think that Ertz is probably going to score more points, but that's accounting for injuries, which I don't typically do in ranking. So I'm just going to say Kittle. George.
It's Kittle, right? Like it's Kittle. There's no question in my mind. The answer to who is the best tight end for fantasy purposes in the NFC West is George Kittle. But I really want to go against the grain and say Zach Ertz. I'm not going to, but I want to go Zach Ertz just because I think there's with Hopkins missing those first six games and him getting a whole season with Kyler Murray and the way he was used last year with Kyler Murray, that it would not shock me if Ertz outscored George Kittle this year. I'm not going to rank him that way. I would take Kittle ahead of him, but man, the return on investment you're going to get where Ertz this year is ridiculous.
Nothing fucks with a redraft more than 4 and 6 game suspensions for some of these guys.
Right. Yeah. For me, it's Kittle. Yes. The biggest problem with Kittle is that he has no fear. He doesn't care who's in his way. He just tries to run them over. And so hopefully he's starting to kind of get that figured out, that he just can't stay on the field very long when he goes with that approach. But God, he's fast. He's tough. Yep, it's Kittle for me. But I can see Zach Ertz definitely winning this. I see Noah Fant being a little dark horse sleeper here too. And I'm with you, Joe. I love Higbee and Daly. And I actually have Higbee in quite a few of my dynasty leagues as well. So I can definitely get behind that. So there you have it. That is the NFC West. That's going to wrap it up for this division right here. It's a fun division. There's a lot of question marks on a lot of these teams that we're going to be waiting to see. We have a lot of fantasy opportunity here that we have to prove and things like that. There's a lot of good things that we can't say. And make sure you vote for Frank. And I can tell you, with the given the past like 10 administrations, I'll be voting for Frank this year. Couldn't be any worse than what we got, what we've been getting in these past, like I said, about 2 decades here. It's just been pretty much a crazy show, but we don't get political here at all. But vote for Frank. Make sure you vote for Frank. And always, you go like kind of with the housekeeping stuff, make sure you guys give us a 5-star review on Apple. Make sure you get on the YouTube, get on Spotify, get on the Facebook, get on the Podbean. And definitely, guys, get on our Patreon at patreon.com/toilets-to-titles. And then also at toiletsandtitles.com. You're going to want to check out those news articles, all the videos that we have going on there. We got the best graphic designer in the game. We got the best writers in the game. You just can't beat us. And a special shout out right here towards the end, even though he might not be listening, is our man Mark. Mark is moving on. He got himself a new job. Mark Bull, one of our Aussie guys on the Down Under Dynasty, and he will be leaving the team this year. He decided to do it now in the offseason. Boy, we're going to miss him because, man, that's a great trio on Down Under Dynasty. So a special shout out to you. But until then, we're saving the best for the West for last. Next week, we'll be doing the AFC West. You guys know I'm a Broncos fan. I cannot wait. I'm very excited. So make sure you guys tune in next week. And with that, guys, we're going to go ahead and sign out. You guys have a good week.